Has the story of your love life taken an unexpected plot twist? Well, this is the podcast that helps millennials rewrite the story of their love life by learning simple strategies for starting and maintaining a healthy relationship. Through candid and unscripted conversations, we provide tools to help navigate the twists and turns of dating and relationships. Are you ready to flip the script on your love life? If so, sit back, get comfortable, and enjoy another episode of the Love Unscripted Podcast. What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Love Unscripted Podcast. I'm your host, Joseph Wilson. And this is the podcast where we have unscripted conversations with millennials about relationships and dating. I hope everyone, once again, is getting a good start to your week. Hopefully, you are hitting your self-care goals. Hopefully, you are taking care of yourself as you are going on this journey of love. And now, it doesn't matter if you're single, if you're in a committed relationship, or if you're married, self-care is important. We always talk about how you have to fill your own cup. You have to fill your own tank so you can be there for yourself first and then be there for your partner or extended family members, children, so forth. So make sure you're doing that. Don't skip on it. Make your self-care a priority, and I promise you the love will feel much better. So if you all missed last week's episode, boy, you missed a good one. I was joined by licensed clinical social worker Aaron Mueller, aka the Black Therapist, to discuss how to be more assertive in your relationships. Now, a lot of people can tend to be pushovers. Sometimes people don't tend to speak up for themselves because of upbringing or just to not rock the boat. But Aaron gave us really key tools, practical steps to building assertiveness, as well as how to speak up for yourself when it matters most. So if you didn't listen to that episode, go ahead and pause this one. I do not mind. It's not going to hurt my feelings. Go listen to that one and then jump back over here for this conversation. And believe me, you don't want to miss this one. So I have another great guest. This one has been a long time in the making. Let me go ahead and get them in here real quick.
Hey, what's up, fam?
All right. So Coach Crump, please introduce yourself.
Man, I am a brother from another mother, man. Grateful and honored to be in the space to share with you guys tonight, man. Let's get it.
Yes, yes. And so I've known Coach Crump for going on probably about 10 years now through a prayer line, just through audio. Before technology got all fancy and we got video conferencing, we were on the phone. I was listening through my headphones and just gaining lots of wisdom from this brother. One thing I'll say is I appreciate the transparency, and I know we're going to bring that to this show today. Yeah, so trust me, y'all are in for a treat. But before we get into this, let's have this conversation real quick. We do talk about relationships. We do talk about love. So from your standpoint, what would be a phrase or word that you would use to describe relationships in today's time?
Oh, yeah, I got that. One word. The W-O-R-K. The work. Man, work, man. It's work. It's real work. You know, not gaslighting. You know what I mean? Not manipulation. Not passive aggressive. But authentic and honest and open work. Like, and the older you get, the more rich, the more, so like the depth, like, you know, I've been struggling because I had a paradigm shift of if I achieve this, if I achieve that, I get to 40, we've been together for over 20 years. Raise the kids, get the degree, make six figures, house on the hills, put the picket fence in the dog. You know, Joe, I'm like, yo, I'm like a fat cat watching the football game on Sundays. I did my job. But man, I tell people this, man, I married my wife, you know, but I also married six women. You know, my wife over the 22 years have changed. You know, the needs have changed, you know, so we're in our 40s. So my wife don't care nothing about no bag and no ooh, boo-boo, sweet text. You know, like we way off of that. She like quality time, mm-hmm. support me in a real way. She like give me the thing that's priceless. You know, your time, your attention, your emotional intelligence and intimacy, which calls work for me. I am an ultra alpha. You know what I mean? I'm a like dysfunctioning masculine man in some ways. And so for me, it takes a lot of consciousness and intentionality for me to love my wife how she needs it today.
Mm-hmm. And I know when you said work, a lot of people started itching and scratching.
Oh, yeah. They better.
The idea is if it's meant to be, if it's true love, then it shouldn't be hard. Why would I need to work at something that is meant to be? And as you explained, and I think people may have missed it, and I don't want them to, people change over time.
Yeah.
Being with you 20 years, people are going to change. It's inevitable. So yeah. How you respond to the change is going to determine the quality, the satisfaction of our relationships. If we stay the same as we were in year one, as we are in year 10, something's off.
Yeah.
Something'll be off.
And I think context of this matters. This is very important because people take a lot of these clips out of context. When I am speaking about the journey that I go through, I am married. I'm not in a relationship. So there's a whole different assignment when you're courting to compared to being under a covenant. My relationship is not about me and it's not about we. It's about God. We are a reflection of his relationship with humanity. And so my work is not done like God's work is. Like I got work to do. And so the work is not a indictment of something wrong. The work is the great responsibility that God has assigned me to his daughter to cultivate the heart in a way that develops this wholesome example that others can glean from and grow from, including my children.
I love it. So as you're taking a look from the sidelines, since you are married, you're looking at the sidelines.
Yeah.
What would you say has surprised you most about how people are trying to create and form relationships in today's time?
What has surprised me is the power of Instagram. Like, I would never think an app, you know what I mean? Like an application, a technology tool would be this cultural, like societal shifting to our core common values that we've been living for thousands of years. Like it's reshaping everything. And the subconscious, like selfish ways of people that just being, you know, like it is, you know, think about it. The app in of itself creates narcissism, right? Because it's a selfie. Like these things are literally designed to make you more selfish. And the brain can't distinct what's fake and what's real, right? So the dopamine is the dopamine. The same way you get a dream and you wake up sweating and you wake up whatever, like feeling like, man, that was real. Even though Instagram is fake to a lot of people, to their brain, to their body, to their wiring, like the neurons, like that's real. And so they get high off the attention of themselves instead of sitting back, working on themselves, growing their family. Like you get, people are literally dropping the ball on the things they should be taking care of because they're addicted, they're distracted, they're caught up on social media. And man, it is crazy what it's doing to people now, man.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I don't think the creators of these apps realized what they were doing. I mean, you can only imagine like, hey, I would want to create an app that does this, but then the way people engage with some always changes the functionality. And so where it may have been meant just for people to take pictures and document has become a source of information and has been able to inform people on how they should act in life, which to me is completely crazy that people are literally in their phone saying, okay, this person says I should do this or I should value this, therefore I do. That's kind of scary. Like,
Yeah. Man, and you know, back in the day when I was getting advice, think about this in a social context, talking about the millennials, right? We grew up outside, we grew up with TV, but we also grew up with church. So when we got a moral compass, like we all got the moral compass for church. Like I remember even hood dudes and the drug dealers would come to church on Christmas, Easter, and New Year's. Like even guys that was in the dope game still knew where to go to get their moral compass right, to get some solid wisdom. The fact now that this thing is on our hip and it is the algorithm is custom designed to your own bias. And then now that is perpetuated every single 13 seconds to dump down on your own bias. That is scary, man. Like if you don't have a plan to block it, you don't have a plan to detox, like you're going to be influenced to go left.
Mm-hmm. And that influence word is going to be a great segue into our topic. So let's go ahead and talk about it this way. Men from a young age are taught that we should be leaders. We're taught that we should be at the forefront of our families. We are taught to do. Mm-hmm. We're taught to take care of little brother. We're taught protect the sister. We're taught as you get older, as you get to high school, what are you going to do next? You should find a job. And then they're like, how are you going to take care of your family if you don't have a job? And then the push comes. Okay, now you need to find a wife. And once you have a wife, when are the kids coming? For men, we are taught in some sense to go this linear path where it is mainly and predominantly focused on our career and what we can do and what we can provide. When it comes to manhood, there's a group or a subset of men that is very influential right now that is pushing this narrative that men need to focus just on their professional development and just focus on their careers. And there are even men who have families that are hearing this message and are attempting to get either respect from their family or to be viewed favorably by their peers, that they go at this rat race or this hustle and bustle culture. And unfortunately, sometimes the people that are closest to them get left behind, namely their wife and their children. Mm. So let's have this conversation and let's talk from this standpoint. Yes, you do need to have a job. Yes, you do need to provide, but that does not need to be the only thing on your list. So I'm going to ask you this question, coach. So how can men effectively balance career aspirations with their family responsibilities to ensure that both areas thrive?
Yeah, this is why I exist, to be honest, this question. You have to be around initiated men, you know, in the context of your framing, your question, I think it was in the context more like millennial men. We talk about how we was raised with that because there's a new thought about how to raise boys today. But for the traditional model, you're right. And you're right. Also, you should be a leader. You should provide, you should protect, but also you're human. But it's hard to explain what it's like to be a man to a woman and a child. Mm-hmm. So a man has to be around initiated men. And, you know, I'm 40 now, so I understand I'm the elder of the culture. I'm the elder of the community. It's literally my responsibility. I was talking to a young brother who has a very successful business and podcast today, but he's 31. And he was saying, thank you, coach, for just pouring. But he didn't ask. It's just part of my role and responsibility now is to help men. And, you know, thousands. You've been on the prayer line that I'm the president of. But and that's not to flex or stunt on Instagram at all, because these spaces, the reason why I don't even promote that or have a YouTube about it or make a clarion call on Instagram every day about it is because that space has to be sacred and safe so that men could actually be like, OK, this is not a show. This is not for content creation. This is not for likes and clicks. This is for hearing the heart of man and receiving it and then nurturing him back to health. you know, in a way that takes time, that takes patience, that takes wisdom. And it takes a lot for a man to even get to a place where he will be vulnerable with other men. So because of my work, separate of me, my own journey, I've worked in this space working with men for over 15 years. I'm just very sensitive to, you have to create these connections and these environments so that men can get away, detox, reflect, recognize, oh, I'm not in this alone, because you feel like that, right? The lonely ministry is heavy on men when you're bearing these responsibilities, but at the same time, you don't have a frame of reference of how to balance and how to cope and how to continue to pursue and how to continue to lead and navigate. So when you have this group of initiated men, not just random men, not your homeboys, not your day ones, this is your day twos. These are people that you strategically pick out that uphold the values, that have a history, that has a track record, that's a little bit ahead of you or alongside of you in the same journey, fighting the same cause for the same reasons.
Mm-hmm. I love that. You went the approach of it's not even a solo thing. So I'm glad that you went there, because most men are going to try to do it alone. They're going to try to strong arm the process. They're going to try to grit and bear, not realizing that this journey of becoming a man and learning how to provide for family, learning how to be a husband, even if you didn't see these things growing up, is going to require other people's support. So how do we as men cultivate a network of initiated men? Like, how do we get in touch with those kind of men, and how do we become part of those networks?
Yeah. And I will say this too, before I answer that question, you have to have two things to become, you know, what I call a level five man, and that is God, and that is initiated men. And when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Mm. There's a hard reality with a lot of adults. You know, one of the things about me coaching adults is adults lie a lot. You know. And that's like the biggest thing I notice about adults, is they lie. And the biggest person they lie to is themselves. But if we could be honest. We could be honest about the reality of we have to show up in a way that allows us to not only support men, but like ask questions, reach out to a pastor. You see somebody on Instagram that has platforms. It's so many. If you're paying attention, it's like when you finally want a car and all of a sudden you see that car everywhere you go. When a man really wants help, I'm telling you, it's around every corner if you pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And listen, community and networks, you need those people, because we don't live every experience. Nor should we have to live every experience to gain tools and information to support our families and to be better husbands, brothers, to people in our community. And so once people get into those communities, what are some ways that they can start to be vulnerable so that they can receive the information? Because I've been on the line. Listen, there's been many years where people will say tough things and you have to hear it for what it is and not take it too much to heart. And also hear it so that you don't block off and be like, you know what? They said this to me about me. I'm not saying anything anymore. Like, how do we become vulnerable with other men so that we can be part of the community?
Yeah. Well, I'll just give this wisdom. I think it's important to just know certain things. A wise man overlooks an offense. So when God put that in Proverbs, like, you got to understand, you will be offended, right? So if we accept the fact that all of us will be offended, the question is not if you were offended, will you be offended? That's going to happen. The question is, how are you going to respond? A wise person, if you decide to be wise, you're going to overlook that offense and focus on, is this information helping me, pushing me, challenging me, holding me to account? That's so you have to ask yourself two questions. When offense happens, because it's inevitable, am I going to choose to be wise or foolish? And if you decide to be wise, Next question you ask yourself is, in the context of my previous statement, like, is any of this actually helpful or challenging to me to be a better version of myself? Mm-hmm. Is this person trying to blast me on social media, berate me in front of my wife and kids, you know, be disrespectful in public? Or is this person's motive actually an attempt to help me with my current circumstance or situation?
Most definitely. And taking that approach allows you to get very beneficial information. Listen, you used the word at the beginning of the podcast, work. It's going to take some work to balance your profession, your career, and your family. Because I think many men do want family and they do want a spouse to do life with. I believe that's part of what we want, but it's going to be difficult if we cannot get support from a community and also figure out ways to be corrected and supported in the right direction. We absolutely need that. That's something that will help you grow in all aspects of your life. And having a network where you can ask questions, get support, be challenged is going to help you in your marriage. It is going to help you in your relationship. It is going to help you in your role of fatherhood, because you are getting a different perspective. And, you know, if you only have your way of looking at things, it's going to be very jaded. So as people are going up the ladder, whether it's corporate, whether you're becoming an entrepreneur, things at some level are going to start to pick up. I believe that if you work at something long enough and you get the right tools and you get the right information, and you will start to have progress, you will start to have success. All the while, you still have a family that needs to be in the know about all the changes, the exciting things that are happening, because they're not necessarily working the business the way you are. Yeah. So here's my question. What are some strategies men can use to better maintain communication with their family as they're starting to move up this success ladder? Because it's going to come. How do they communicate with that? What are some strategies?
I highly recommend Hold On To Your Nuts. It's a book. It's a book by Wayne Levine. It's a relationship manual for men. Nuts, standing for non-negotiable, unalterable terms. And he really breaks down the difference between terms and conditions when it comes to a man and his household. Mm-hmm. And I give you a couple of, it's eight fundamental principles, but I give you a couple that I use that I have part of my man code. One of them is don't argue. You know, I don't argue, I don't condemn, and I don't defend. And so part of that is, it's kind of two other codes in one, where it's like express, but don't defend your feelings. So it's important as a man that you don't argue, but that doesn't mean you don't communicate, that you express your, I didn't like when you did that, but now don't go back and forth. You know what I mean? And so it's important to understand, like, we have to communicate without being combative. We have to communicate without being angry. We have to communicate without doing silent treatment. Like, we have to silence the little boy, which is another one, right? Because every man has three people inside of him. Right. You have a little boy, you have a monster, and you have a God. And the reality is the intentionality of you feeding that before it comes out determines who shows up. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's like I always try to say, are you being a little boy, or is this the angry monster? Right. And the monster, he's both sides. He's destructive physically, and that could be with lust. Like that's like the monster comes out, and if you don't address it, right, they will, because like God, the God in you gives you a choice. Hey, if you need me, I'm here. The little boy and the monster, they're very needy and they're always pulling at you. So you will find if a man hasn't dealt with his trauma, doesn't know his truth, his subconscious response will always be defensive, which is the little boy, or demonstrative, which is the monster, right? Which is polarizing and dictatorship. So it's like, so for me, I could look at a man and see his response or see his temperament or posture and see like, oh, cause like in the man of God, you have to stop, say, all right, God, you have your way. I'm gonna let you do your thing. I have to not only let God come in me and speak and be present, but I have to I have to control the monster and the little boy. I have to hush them while God is speaking through me. And that is a unique skill set that takes time. And that's why I say, if you're not around initiated men, they're gonna be like, brush, man, whatever, man, on to the next. You know, God can say some very self-absorbing, self-sabotaging, or just very selfish things that don't help the bottom line of what you're trying to do for your legacy, for your family. And the reality is, the only way you have a legacy as a man is if you sacrifice and if you serve. So like any energy that's not on that, ultimately you're going to take an L. It looks dope. You feel good. You get what you want in the moment, but you lose in the long term.
Mm-hmm. I hear a lot of men say that as they are building their brand, as they are climbing the corporate ladder, as they are advancing professionally, sometimes their girlfriends or their wives don't really understand the process. And many of them struggle with, do I need to explain everything when on some level I don't necessarily know everything? How much do I explain? What would you say for men who are struggling with their partner and the information gap? How much do they share? What do they share? How do they share so that it doesn't turn into an argument?
Yeah, my coach says everything happens in the gap, right? The wins, the losses, the misinterpretation, the confusion, the challenges, everything happens in the gap. It is our responsibility. This is my approach. Everything in my house is my responsibility. Now, the behavior of everybody is not my fault. So the behavior of my children, how they behave at school, that's not my fault. But you better believe it's my responsibility to address it when they get to the house. How my wife behaves when she goes outside, how she behaves, that's not my fault. But she still is my responsibility. That's still my wife. And I'm still going to make sure we address the matter in a way that's going to be productive and effective. Accountability is your responsibility. If I want somebody to love me, nobody can read minds. I have to effectively communicate. Like, for example, when I was in my 20s, I needed to get my rocks off. I was energetic. But testosterone super high. Like, I want to, hey, listen, I need sex on the regular. I'm 40 years old. I need a lot of pampering. You know what I mean? Like, I need you to caress me. I need you to soothe me and rub my head and rub my chest, rub my shoulder, rub my back. Like, you know, lay next to me and just say nice things and do nice things just because. And I don't want to have to parade and perform and prompt. But if I don't effectively communicate that how much that's important to me, that's not on her, because she's like, oh, you just want some sex because you've been doing that for the 10 years. I don't want just sex now. You mean like sex is like the aftermath of the intimacy that we enjoy, that you just paying attention to me. And I even explain that if I'm working hard to create a space, because maybe you work hard and that really wasn't for your family, that was for you. You know what I mean? Because she didn't ask you to work hard and build a brand like that. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, was there effective communication in the process, or did you make some assumptions that you doing more work? Because you doing more work create a bigger gap, because you never communicate effectively before you start building a bigger brand or doing more work. So the gap just got bigger. So the emotional emptiness of both of you was bigger. So now the return game is really harder to come back from. And then you're confused because you're like, well, I've been home every day and I built a big, and we got more stuff. A good woman who's been with you for years, the stuff fades away. It really does. They want emotional intimacy, right? And so usually two parties come from two different spectrums. Like, a lot of men come through intimacy through physicality. A lot of women come through intimacy through emotion. And I say it's five levels. This is my own thing. And I rate yourself between 1 to 5. But there's financial intimacy, there's spiritual intimacy, there's emotional intimacy, there's physical intimacy, right? And then there's just communication intimacy, where there's just like a natural friendship connection. And so for me, it's like a lot of times you went and got the bag, but you killed all the intimacy trying to get money.
Ooh.
So the whole time you got money, she was lonely, even though y'all was in the same house.
Listen, I love that because so many men sacrifice their family, the intimacy, the connection with their kids, all in the name of performing a job, building something for them. And if you build something, you look back and your family's not there, then what's the worth of it?
Yeah.
You did this for them, but yet they can't stand you. They don't know what you're doing or what the brand even is because you just work all these long hours. You take flights and come back. They don't know where you're going, what you're doing. Your wife don't know what your schedule is looking like. That she doesn't know she need to have dinner ready or come get you from the airport. Like communication or the lack thereof creates a lot of undue stress and strain. People think it's easy to communicate. People think that people should just read their mind or you should just know me. And here's another gap that has been created. Technology.
Come on.
We have made it to where we will just text and shoot something shorthand that has very little information or context. And I don't know about you. Has someone ever sent you a message and it was short and it had instructions? Be like, wait, what are you saying? Like, what are you doing? And I got to pick up the phone. And what they said and what they text was on two different ends.
And listen, I'm him. Just in case you're wondering, Joe, like, I'm him, bro. Like, you got to listen. I'm, like, trying to do the shortest communication possible. And because that's the thing, too, the level of self-awareness to know what you're good at and what you're not. Like, I'm really good at leadership and commitment, delegation, strategy, but I'm poor at interpersonal communication because I like to roll with dogs. But, like, when it comes to a different personality, like, communication and detail and context is essential, right? It's actually required. And I'm poor at that. So I understand that I have to go outside of myself to assure effective communication has taken place instead of my assumption that I would do something that I would do to myself, which would be good communication for me, but doesn't mean it's good communication for her. And then personalities on social emotional styles. Right. So I'm a loner in private. My wife likes to be bonded in private. So she wants me to be there just to be there. So I'm watching First Wives Club. I'm watching Squid Game. I'm watching like all type of stuff just to be like, yeah, just to be here. No objective. Just sit right next to me for hours and watch this stuff with me. Whereas for me, I love being by myself, not to be into anybody else, but I like being by myself. So going back to know thyself, right? But also be self-aware about your dynamics and your responsibilities and that everybody's different and different is okay. But as the leader, it's your responsibility to make the necessary adjustments.
Mm-hmm. The whole family can't be wondering, guessing when the communication is going to come. They don't need to be fearful that they can't invite you to the school activities because nothing has been communicated. So I want to talk about another challenge that men have, and especially if you're taking on a new venture, you're taking on a new project, and it requires a lot of your time. As someone who is either starting a business or going in a new direction, your time is going to be required on the front end. It's the price of admission, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are some time management skills men can either use so that they can achieve their goals and still have their families know who they are at the end of the night?
Yeah, this is another one of my secret things. I'm in personal development, man. I'm big on your 168. So your 168 is your hours per week. And then I challenge people to break down those hours in five categories. And basically it's self-care, sacred care, right? And also rest. Right. So those are required every day, 7 days a week. And then you have two that's optional, but you want to see how effective you're doing that. Right. So the other two is serving and one is building. Now, serving is like everything you do that is paid or unpaid to help move the needle in your life. Right. So it could be domestic duties around the house. It could be volunteer at the church. It could be working your 9 to 5 and doing your side hustle. Building is working on the things that's not even here yet, right? So that can be everything from networking to researching to troubleshooting to creation, right? And so you have to look at those 5 categories. But here's something that people really recognize when they do this exercise with me, Joe. Like after they do it, they be like, I put those categories in. I put the time I have with God, the time I take for myself, the time I get some rest, the time I be building, the time I be serving. Guess on average, Joe, how many hours are left uncategorized on average for my clients?
Let's say 5.
20. 20. If you were really wow. Access your time,
wow.
People on average waste per week 20 hours per week. 20 hours. So they got time with God, they got sleep, they got self-care, they went working out, they got something, they had a day by themselves, they went on a date with their significant other, they they got a haircut. They worked the work, they did their duties, they also built, and they still wasted 20 hours per week. So like, I would say first, honestly assess your 168 hours a week. You'll be shocked how much time you actually are wasting. And just think about per week, 52 times a year, that amount of hours, what you can do. You can literally be an expert in family, an expert in marriage with that extra time you have. So my challenge to your audience would be first, truly assess your 168.
Listen, people aren't really that busy. Even people who are building stuff, working, studying. I know some people that have gone through the med school and trying to do professional. You're not studying that much. Mm. You're not doing hard manual. Okay, let me create this document. A lot of people are spending time on TV, on Netflix, on scrolling.
Come on, scroll ministry. Come on, scroll ministry. That thing is serious.
I completely get what you're saying. And that. Right, for sure. So we're going to go ahead and transition into our last segment on the show. I've enjoyed having you on here. So let's go ahead and transition to the flip the script segment of the show. And that is where the guest provides a simple tool or strategy on how to deal with a specific challenge or how to deal with the topic that we discussed today. So you ready for your question?
I'm ready.
All right. So here's your question. How do successful men integrate self-care practices into their routines to avoid burnout and remain engaged with their families while pursuing their objectives?
That was a very long question, but again, I go back to something we discussed earlier, the book by Wayne Levine. I think it's a great start for men to hold on to their nuts, with the objective being, you know, creating your principle-based, you know, man code that you live by, that allows you to navigate these feelings, you know, things that are out of your control, you know, other people in your life. You know, a lot of times, man, Joe, people just don't have a plan for this stuff. They don't have a code that they live by. They're just waking up and trying their best. But there need to be some 12 principles that you live by, that you do not compromise them for anybody, including your wife and your kids and your colleagues and your friends. Like, you do not compromise these whatsoever. I have codes that I live by that even my wife can get in her feelings about. I'm not compromising my non-negotiable, unalterable terms. That's how I live my life. That's how I built this life. In order for me to maintain this container that we call the Crumpler household, like, I have to live by these things so that I can be the best version of me to keep showing up every day to support everybody the way that they need it. You know what I mean? So, Me taking care of me and me living by my terms is not being selfish. It's being responsible that I can actually be here for everybody else.
And there you have it, Coach Crump. Thank you for joining us this week.
Thank you for having me, man. I'm proud of you, man. I love watching your platform take off. I remember when it was a couple hundred and a couple thousand. So when I tell you, man, you know, we got a lot of successful babies from the prayer line, man. So, man, when I look back at the 10 to 12 years, I've been on 13 years and the lives that you guys have built, man, it's just it warms your heart just to see the work that you guys are doing in the marketplace. It's a beautiful thing, man. Super proud of you.
I appreciate that. Please let everybody know where they can find you on the internet and social media.
Yeah, my website is coachcrump.com, and you can find me on IG at @theking_coach. All right. Appreciate you.
And I'll put all of his information down in the show notes. So if you're driving, please don't go try to click the link. If you wreck, I'm not responsible for your deductible. I tell y'all every week, you're going to have to figure that out on your own. So thank you, everybody, for joining us this week. Please head on over to iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher Podcast, comment, rate, subscribe. If you're in podcast land, please head on over to YouTube at Love Unscripted HD, where you can see the full video for this episode. And as we always say, we may not have all the answers, but we will have the conversation. I'll see y'all next time. Peace.
Peace.